Anthony. Well, let's turn to the book of Isaiah. And then we're going to turn to the book of Revelation. You know, the book of Isaiah, like I think I've told y'all once before, that if there's any book of the Bible that if somebody give me a choice, or if the government, or if anybody I hear would have to give me the orders, either I can pick out one book of the Bible and I can go with that, and if I don't go with that, then I would not even have a Bible at all, because of the law that they have established at the time. And they established that law, but way back then also. And plus too, overseas, that they have also have come up and passed laws of where they couldn't even come over there, much less, you know, preach. But that we know that was over there in England, where it finally got to the point over in England that the church basically had to end up leaving England there, because that's how the United States was founded, and that's who it was founded by, was by the English people, as they have done what they had to do for the Lord. And not only that, but in doing what they thought that they needed to do. And anytime we put our thoughts into it, that what we need to do, we're then backed up, because we're not putting the Lord first. We always must go to the Lord and ask the Lord to be the first one, and to notice Him in what's the word I'm looking for? Well, it's to look to the Lord for the deadness that is going on in our churches and around us. And the solution for that, for the deadness of our churches, we're going to sit right here in Isaiah chapter 44 in verse 20. And he says this. But if it had not have been for England and loving the Lord and want to continue giving out the gospel, we would not have had it today. because they are the ones that really brought the gospel to us, and through the people that they've had here in bringing up. Because I want to ask you a question: Would you, or would I go and search out for a land where there's no businesses, there's no people, there's nothing around, with just what God has created and what God has made for us, to where we can go out in the land and we can find food in the land. It may not be what we want. I mean, I've seen individuals take and they'll go up to a maple tree and they'll take a where maple trees had a split in it or something, and they'll draw some syrup out of it. Some maple syrup out of that tree, and they would feast on that. And not only that, they would feast on the ravens, and they would feast on the water to sustain their life as they went day by day, because they weren't just there. They weren't just there just to be walking through the land. No, they was there for a reason. And for the reason was to get as many people as they could into surrounding area that was around the United States, and where it's called the United States today, where it went around and got all the people there around and give them some hope, because they didn't have no hope back then. And we can look at it the same way today. We have people out here today is talking about we have no hope. We have nothing to look forward to. Yes, they do. But they've got to come and realize that they have to come through the Lord Jesus Christ to be able to accept that and have the hope that only comes through Him. And not only that, but when the Lord speaks to people like us, we must be mindful to what He is saying to us and what He wants us to do. And we don't have to go in and feel like the blank and everything about what He wants us to do and the way we should go about it. No, because if He gives us a want to and something He wants us to do, He's going to give us a way to do it. And we don't have to come up with our own way, because He's not going to put on no more on you than what you can handle. He's not going to put no more on you than what you can give people. And once we give it to the people, we must realize that we have got to stop right there. So, Lord, I've done what You asked me to do. I gave out the gospel to the individual that was lost. Now, Lord, it's up to You. I can't save them. I can't turn their life around. I can't give them no kind of blessings. But You've got to do what You've got to do, and speak to their heart with what You've given me to speak to them, and you speak to the heart, and you will take that heart and bring it to the Holy Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit can start doing his particular job or program, what you want to call it. But to see, the Holy Spirit's got a specific thing to do. The Holy Spirit has one agenda on his heart and on his mind to do. And that agenda is bringing conviction to the individual's heart. Now, you can be saved, and the Holy Spirit can still bring conviction on you that you may share what he has shared with you, that you can share with somebody else. And we must look at that, that we have got the most important thing in an individual's life, and that is the Word of God. If they would just listen, instead of start listening and say, they don't already just say, ain't no need in it. They don't need telling me no more about it. Because you done already put a butt in it. They need to forget about that. They don't need to speak. They don't need to speak. They don't need to do anything as long as the Holy Spirit is working on their heart. And as long as the Holy Spirit is working on their heart, the Holy Spirit's going to introduce them to Jesus. Because the individual is going to say to the Holy Spirit, "Said, nobody cares about me and my family. They don't love me." And the Holy Spirit comes back to him and says, "Sir, I want to let you know something. That is an individual that walked on this earth many, many, many years ago. And then he took the cross and put it on his shoulders, and he drug it up Golgotha's hill to where they would lay the cross down on the ground, and they would lay Jesus right down the cross. They would put two spikes, one in the left hand, one in the right. And then they would put another spike in both of their feet when it was crossed. One over one, to put one spike there. Then they put a crown upon his head. And what was that crown for? And that crown was for the faithfulness of Jesus. And not only that, did he die for you? He gave his life. Them Roman soldiers didn't take his life. Only thing they were doing, they were just breaking his legs because they couldn't take his life. Because it said over in the Old Testament, it said, you cannot take his life. Just like Job. Just like when Job went to God. When the devil went to God and they asked God, said, "God, I want one of your servants. And I need him for a while. I need for him. And I need for other people to look at Job." God said, "Okay. Job," says that Satan, "you can have Job. You can do anything you want to him, but one thing. And that's take his life." I give life and I take life away. That's what God told Satan. You cannot take his life, but you can do anything else to him. And basically, what the Satan was asking God was, God, I need for you to turn over Job to me to where I can get him to curse you, where I can get him to go out here and do some of the ungodly stuff, because I understand he's a righteous man. He was a righteous man. He was a righteous man at first. He was a righteous man in the middle. He was a righteous man at the very end. He was righteous. And he was serving a righteous God. But boy, didn't the devil pour it on him. Oh man, he poured it to him. He just wanted to say, well, Job, God has said I could have you. I could do anything to you, but take your life. And can you imagine what Job said to Satan? Which I think basically what he was doing, he was speaking to God. Was Satan was hearing it. But I believe Job asked God, would you please be with me? I have not went back on your word. I have not fell backwards. I want to be just as faithful. At the end, as I was at the first, after you saved me. That right there says a whole lot about people today. Oh, you people today, they're coming to church and they're listening, but they won't listen what the Sunday school teacher is saying. They won't listen to what everybody else is saying about how good God's been to them all week and the blessings that God prepared for them. No, what they're listening for the negative. And they're listening through to us that we may bring something negative. And the reason for that is so they can just try to justify themselves in not coming back to church. And justifying themselves and not coming back and hearing the gospel. Because they come through the doors with one thing on their mind. And that's listening to someone else spreading some gossip. And as somebody else is spreading the gossip, then they will have a reason. Because they would, if we ended up going visit them in a couple of weeks, because they didn't come back, and we just go to them and just, you know, to tell them, just ask them and just tell them that we're glad to have you that one Sunday, and feel free anytime you want to. You want to call me, or call a deacon or somebody in church, and you want to talk to them about the church, ask them some questions about it, you just call us. Just call us. Well, see, they're not looking for that. They got one motive. And that motive is as soon as they put the hand on the hound to come into the church, they have got to the point that they've realized then that now they can go into church and they can quit going to church, and then the preacher and the congregation, they will quit praying for me. They will quit visiting me. It should not be like that. It should not be like that, that we quit visiting and we quit speaking and we quit praying for them. We need to always lift the names up. You know, since I've had a problem with my leg and my balance, I haven't been able to go out and to visit people at the homes or anything like that. And I'm gonna say this, and the main reason that I don't and I can't right now is because I feel like that as soon as I get out of the automobile, I'm gonna be stepping on some unlevel ground. And it's not that I'm gonna be embarrassed if I happen to fall and hit the ground, because it's not gonna embarrass me. I'll just get up and still walk to the door if I can. But I'm not going to let me fall into the ground embarrass me to the point that I'm going to get in my automobile and go back home, drive all the way back home or ride all the way back home and not to give out the gospel. Because what's God going to do for me? What's he going to do for me? What's he going to do for us if we hightail it and run? Because we've seen something that we don't particularly like. We have to realize when we go into someone's home, that is their castle. We do not have the right to go into their home and to judge them because of what may be laying out or laying around, and we should not judge them about anything. The way they housekeep anything. We should not judge them because it is their castle. That's the only thing that they can afford. That's all they can do. We don't need to do that. We don't need to go into their house and complain. We don't need to go into their house and tell them. Says, I understand. Somebody told me this past week that you're lost and going to hell. That wasn't my place to do that. My place was to go in and visit the family and visit them and let them know what God has done for me. And they will realize that I'm still talking about what God will do for them also. Today, we have people today that are so judgmental. And they end up losing the blessings of the Lord that he has for them. Because the Lord's not going to bless me, and he will not bless you, he will not bless nobody that will come into their home, into their castle, where they are working and trying to make enough money to provide for their family. And we know the jobs out here, there's jobs out here, they don't pay minimum wage. But we can't, we don't need to go into all that. We need what we need to do. We need to stay to what we went there for. Share God's word. How do we share God's word? How do I do it? I go to them and I tell them how good God has been to me. Matter of fact, I was talking to somebody here this week. And he asked me, says, how you feeling today? I said, I'm doing pretty good. Well, how's your legs doing? I said, well, they, you know, I still know that they are. They still look weak at times, but, you know, I just thank the Lord for them. I said, because he could have, you know, he could have made my legs just as strong as he wanted to, and I could walk fine, not lose my balance, anything. But then yet I could have a heart attack, and I could be laying in the hospital having to go and have open heart surgery. Or the doctors could come and found me when I went to the doctor to check on my legs, see how they're doing, and they go and check on my legs and everything. And then the next thing they do, they go in there and they do a bone marrow and everything on me, see if I have any type of cancer. And the doctor comes back and says, and you can tell it on the face when they come back, if they got good news or bad news. But we don't need to take it that way. We don't need to take it as good news or bad. We just need to take it as news. Just like this right here is filled with nothing but news. New. You're a new creature. I'm a new creature. I have a home that's being prepared for me. You have a home that's being prepared for you. We haven't got there yet. The Lord Jesus has not put out my welcoming sign on my front door there in heaven. And he hasn't put your welcome signs out. But when he does, and when he puts it out, and when he hangs it, is when we go into heaven. It's when we die or whatever, we leave this body. We leave this body. Because see, this old body is corrupt. This old body is sinful. And I have to fight with the body each and every day. Yeah, and some things that you have to face and you have to think, but the thing about it, we should not dwell on it. I mean, you know, well, like this morning, I went back in my study this morning, getting everything together. And I didn't make it all the way to my study, for fail. And I failed. Was it okay for me to complain? No. Should I have complained? No. Did I complain? Basically, yes. We have that a tendency to bring up things to our forefront that will overshadow what we're trying basically to do. But did I lay in the floor? Did I lay in the floor and say, Shelby, I'm not going to be able to go to church this morning. I sure wanted to. But I wasn't able to. I'm not able to get up. I'm not able to even walk into church this morning. Do you think the Lord's going to bless me? Because I said that? No. Every time I fail in the parking lot, at a doctor's office, or wherever at, I've always thanked the Lord. But you know, it could have been worse. And the reason I failed and hit the pavement, because I could have had a massive stroke, or I could have had a massive heart attack. And that's the reason I went down. But we should not complain. But we complain all the time. And a whole lot of times we don't even realize it. We ourselves don't even realize when we complain about this and that, and when we're complaining about it, we better watch out, because we're complaining to the Lord. And we're taking all of His blessings and complaining to the Lord. If the Lord want to take me home right now, fine for me to go today, tomorrow, any day. Because I know I'm going. Like some people says, well, your number ain't come up yet. No, my number probably hadn't come up. Guess what? It ain't going to be no number that's going to come up. It's when the Lord's going to say, you've done all you can do. Kept the faith. I mean, you know, in the Bible, there's so many individuals in the Bible that I can think of that would be somewhere I could pattern my life, the rest of my life after them. But I would miss somebody. But I think two of the closest. Two of the closest that was God's to heart. Job in the Old Testament. And then Paul. In the New Testament. I would just love to have a fifth of what Paul had after his salvation. And you know, it says in the book, obviously the book of Romans, it talks and speaks about Paul and the thorn that is inside of his flesh. I think it's Romans. In the side of his flesh. And I know that it speaks of it in the same chapter, talking about that. It speaks of he speaks of them in what they was doing and how faithful that they was trying, and they was praying. And I honestly believe that before Paul got up off of the ground on the Damascus Road, he was praying and thanking God for his many blessings. But you know, some people say that Paul, the thorn that was in the side of his flesh, was his eyesight. Because he said his eyes had gotten kind of dim. And he couldn't focus all that well anymore. I don't believe that was it. Myself, I don't believe that was it. You know what I believe it was, and what I think it is? Is all the things that Paul had gave orders to do against the Christians, against the synagogues, against the churches, against the people in general. That was Paul's thorn right there, because he had that memory of it. He had that memory that was focused, that he focused on it. He was focused on it all the time. Because Satan knew that Paul was saved. He knew that Paul got saved on the road to Damascus. But yet, he also knew, too, when he got saved on the road to Damascus, that he would not have to worry about Paul anymore. He would not have to worry what he was going to do. He was not going to have to worry about belittling the Christian and going out and having other people murdered and other people killed. It doesn't say anything about Paul when it really went and slayed somebody. But if he gave the orders, he was just as guilty as if he took the sword himself and put it to the individual. Just as guilty. And if we say something wrong as Christians about somebody, which we don't even know anything about it, but yet we have the tendency to spread a little gossip. Don't say we don't spread gossip, but we do. As soon as we hear something that's a little juicy, a little slippery, we might speak about it. But you know something? That right there is just as dangerous. Just as dangerous to a Christian as if Paul had went back to what he had been brought up to do and what he'd been doing all his life until that point. We're just as guilty. We're just as guilty as Paul. Matter of fact, I'm going further to say this. We are just as guilty as Satan is. Because Satan, what does he do? He wants me. He wants me. He wants to find that little crevice in my soul somewhere, in my body. And he is trying real well to find that little crevice that I have, to where he can go in and he can open that crevice up. Where it was just a little small line like, where before we end, well, right there above the door, right there, you can see that little crevice right there. Looked like a little line. Somebody drew a straight line down there. That's all Satan needs, is within us, or just a little crevice, something that he can see. But yet we can't see it. But he sees it. And we'll fall into his trap. And if we fall into his trap, shame on us. Shame on us, because we know better than that. We know who saved us. We know in who we serve. We know in where our blessings come from. We know where life itself comes from. We was dead in trespasses and sin. Then we became a living, breathing soul that the Lord God had created back in the forefront of our mind when he created each one of us in the likeness of him. But then you had sin to come on the scene, and yet sin took us down. Sin will always take you further than you want to go. And it might not take it long. It might take 30 minutes, it might take an hour to get back to that sin. But just like Jesus, when Jesus' mother and Joseph there was walking down the street with Mary's son, Jesus. They're walking down the road, and Jesus heard a familiar voice. And Jesus heard some other voices also. So he went into the temple. He went into the temple where they was at. And he started teaching. A 12-year-old boy started teaching what he knew. The individuals that were there did not like that, because he was a young lad. They said, well, he don't know anything, a young lad. He ain't lived that long to even learn anything. But I'll tell you what. It says right here, it says, he that is so improvident that he hath no obligation, chooses a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning welcome workman to prepare a graven image that shall be moved. One day, the bridegroom gonna call us home. And when the bridegroom calls us home, he's gonna go over some things with us. And he's gonna basically ask, how much and how faithful did we stay to him? And we're gonna have to give an answer. We're gonna have to give him an answer. And we are not gonna be able to make it up. We're not going to be able to come up with no kind of excuses or nothing, because he's got every last one of them recorded. He's got every last one of them recorded in his computer bank. And in his computer bank, he is the only one. He is the only one that's got a computer bank that has never been hit by a virus, that has never been hit by a Trojan horse, that has never been hit, because his bank is all the way, always open for us to come in and to seek who he is. We need to pray like we've never prayed before. I know I've said that time and time again, but we do. We really do. We need to forget. We need to just say, hey, Lord, I myself wants to quit playing church. I myself need to quit playing church. I myself must do what you've asked me to do. You saved me from the pits of hell and promised me a mansion there in heaven. And least I can do is go and give out the gospel. And I can always pray for somebody. You know, I'm not going to even take Ringo. I'm not going to take the whole Pennsylvania County. I'm not going to take the city of Danville. I'm going to just take Ringo right here where we at. From up at the stoplight, back that way to the city limits. And all the houses that's in between, they need to be prayed for. They need to be prayed for. Our families need to be prayed for. And you know what else? I think the biggest part of the family that we need to do, we need to allow our kids to hear us pray. We should not be bashful about our prayer life. When I go out and I something I have to eat, I'll have a Lord's blessings. And I will not have it to where nobody can hear me. Because what's the Lord say? The Lord says, speak up. Speak up. Speak up and let the world hear you, because if they don't hear you, then I'm going to ask the pine trees out here besides Faith Baptist Church to wave to. We won't wave to him, but he'll have the trees to wave to him. And then he'll have the rocks to cry out. In the oceans and everything, to cry out. And then who they're crying out to? They're crying out to God the Father. And God the Father can only hear what the rocks are crying out for. They only hear them. And we must realize that we have a whole lot more to think of. Thank him for than what we do. I think sometimes we just need to quit thanking him for this and that and the blessings and everything. And we just need to get out here and start telling people. Start shouting it out. Hey. I served the devil for 30 years. I was lost that long. For 30 years. Until August of 1980. Is when the Holy Spirit started speaking to my heart. And when he did, he brought conviction to it. And then that's when I gave my heart and my life to Jesus. And he told me, he said, son, now you are not. And you will not. You cannot go to hell if you want to. Because I done wrote your name there in the book of life. In the book of life, he's written my name there. Hey, yes, I'm on a roll. Hey, I may be, you know, I know some people that go out here, they'll get up and they'll try to do this and they'll try to do that and say, well, they will get on this roll and everything like that and everything. I need to go and join that church. I don't think I've joined that church.